Okay, welcome everyone to the 2023 Virtual Region Convention and to our tools session. We will have two speakers today. Each will speak on the topic of body image, relationships, and sexuality as they see their recovery has been used with the recovery tools, the 9 tools that we have. Each speaker will speak for 15 minutes and then we'll have a Q&A session. To our speakers, we have Mary Grace and Carol today. Thank you. So our first speaker will be Mary Grace. Welcome, Mary Grace.
Thank you so much. My name is Mary Grace, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I'm going to talk about our body image, relationships, and sexuality book and how I use the tools. One of the pieces of literature that OA has, so many pieces of literature. This is the newest piece of literature, and I absolutely love it. I believe it's the root of a lot of my problems. I'm going to show you a picture now, and you might wonder, well, why is she showing us this picture? Because she's not overweight, right? Well, the reason I'm showing this picture is because I was probably 19 years old. You can see that there was nothing wrong with my weight. However, I thought there was. So I went to a weight loss program and they said, you can't come here. You have to be at least 10 pounds overweight. The other thing that happened at that time was I went to a gym. You know, people didn't go to the gym back in so much the late 60s and early 70s. And they actually asked me to work there. So again, I must have looked healthy. I must have looked pretty darn good, but I didn't know that. So that's kind of my body image section. I will tell you that I have been abstinent because I know people always want to know for now 3 years and 7 months this time, and I might talk about another time later. And I've been maintaining a 90-pound weight release for most of that time. So I'm going to show the other picture now, only because you can see what I look like now. And this dress, this is actually pretty funny, this I think, because I'm at goal weight. But that same dress has been worn 3 Halloweens in a row. So my weight has stayed the same 3 years in a row. And the great thing about this dress, silly as it looks, is everywhere I go, people comment on it. It draws people to me, and it's just fun. So that is my body image. The next thing is one of the other tools is meetings, and of course, some of our meetings focus on body image. In my experience, it can get pretty heavy at some of the meetings. I do go to a woman's meeting, body image, when I'm able, and people really open up about everything. So some meetings will announce, you know, if you're going to be triggered, please don't come to the meeting or talk to your sponsor. I find it very useful to be able to talk about all the things I was shamed for my entire life, which includes trauma. Not going to go into trauma. I think that's better discussed one-on-one. I'm not making any judgments on anyone. And that would probably come into sponsorship. I can discuss things with my sponsor that I may not discuss in a meeting. And there's 2 types of sponsors. So I do want to mention that. Some sponsors are step sponsors. Some sponsors are food sponsors. Sponsors come and go. I am on my 3rd sponsor in this 3 years and 7 month period, but I've probably been with the sponsor that I have now for most of the last 3 years. The first 2 just didn't work out for one reason or another. And if that happens, you know, don't give up. Not everybody is a match. We all do the best we can do. The next tool I wanted to talk about was the action plan. So my action plan is pretty simple. I know people can make lists, and I don't do that much. It's all focused on recovery. So I read labels. I weigh my food. I don't measure it because it's, for me, it's easier just to weigh everything. I can weigh liquids. I can weigh powders. I can weigh whatever I need to weigh on a nice food scale. Another part of my action plan is exercise. And I will tell you that this morning I went swimming already, even though it's 50 degrees outside. And I had to look at, you know, because of my age and you know, we all have different health issues. What did I like to do as a kid? And the one thing that I could come up with was swimming, because it doesn't hurt the body as much as some other exercises might. I also use an app to track my food, but I'm focusing on nutrition when I use the app. So this is, OA does not have an inaction plan, but I have added my own inaction plan. And the first one is I don't eat sugar. The second was I do not order food in. So, you know, I just don't do it. I think in the last 3 years and 7 months, I did it once, and it's because the electricity was out. So my son was visiting. So I know, you know, I've witnessed people ordering food in, and I was taking care of kids, and I saw them ordering tons of food in. Oh, you know, so I know that kids can be compulsive overeaters too. Plan of eating. So I'm not going to talk about my plan of eating, because we all have a different plan of eating. What I do with my sponsees is I really encourage them to seek help from a medical professional. You know, I am not a medical professional. I don't know what your health issues are. I don't know what your proper weight range is. Now, my weight range is actually higher than it was when I was younger. And that's because I work with medical professionals, both a dietitian and a doctor that, you know, they can talk to each other, and found out that people that are older are supposed to weigh a little bit more, because if we fall, we could break a bone. And then, you know, any other factors that you may have. So please, please, please seek help from a medical professional. Service. I want to talk about service, because I found service, especially at this particular convention, kind of humorous, because I ended up signing up for timer for three different meetings, and then the speaker for this meeting, and I did the time zones wrong. So I thought the meeting that said it was going to be at 10 o'clock, like this meeting, if it was at 10 o'clock, well, it's 11 o'clock, would be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that it would be. So I was all screwed up. So I had to get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, which I'm not a morning person. And I thought, well, I'm not going to show up. You know, they'll find someone else to do. But you know what? I don't want to set myself up to eat. And I knew if I didn't show up when I said I was going to show up, I would probably feel guilty. Relationships. Okay. I am not going to talk a lot about that. I will tell you, I've had dozens. I don't want to exaggerate. I don't even want to tell you how many. But in all honesty, let's just be honest. I know, God, this is so embarrassing. I have probably slept with at least 100 men, but probably not more than 200. Okay. So obviously I had a problem with relationships and sexuality. Part of my problem with sexuality, I think, stemmed from being traumatized as a child and learning that I could not say no. But by working the 12 steps, I've learned that I can say no. And I will just briefly say I had a boyfriend in COVID who was absolutely wonderful, because he didn't want me to do anything I didn't want to do. And we didn't even get close for at least 6 months, which is not my pattern. We are still friends. We're not involved. And there's some real humor when you're in your 70s trying to have sex. That's all I'll say about that. The last one I want to talk about, the last tool, is writing. Writing can be anything. You know, the OA has this book, Voices of Recovery, and a Voices of Recovery workbook. We have the For Today and the For Today workbook, and that's what I've been doing with my sponsor. But I wrote this poem. This poem was written, I'm looking at the address I have on here, had to be the early 80s. And I often had jobs where I was bored, so I probably wrote this at work. And then I'm going to close. It's called Monday Afternoon Binge Substitute. You don't need no trouble. You don't need a double. You don't need no burger. You don't need no sugar. All you need are helping hands, a friendly voice that understands, a hug and a smile and a how are you, a belief in something bigger than you. So pick up the phone and let it begin. Go to the meetings from beginning to end. Hug and be hugged and use all the tools. Now that you know the answers, don't be fools. Work the steps 1 through 12 into your past and psyche delve. Fear not, because soon you will find you've been given serenity and peace of mind. Your obsessions will be lifted one by one. You'll find your life begin to be fun. These are promises, not empty dreams. And God will draw closer than he now seems. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Mary Grace. That was so lovely. Thank you. Next speaker is Carol T. Welcome, Carol.
Well, thank you for getting me to do service and sharing on body image, sexuality, and relationships. I'm going to introduce myself in two parts. First part, on how I usually introduce, is I am Carol T., a compulsive overeater, living in the solution, and I am healed. And when I say healed, I mean healed from negative thinking and actions, healed from thinking that I don't have to live the principles. I don't have to use the tools. I don't have to live and work the traditions in order to work the steps. I know I need all of that, because if I don't, I'll work Carol's program, which is not OA's program, and I will not be in recovery, because my aim is to be happy, joyous, free, serene. Saying all of that, now my second part, so clutch your pearls. I will introduce, if I'm asked to speak at a meeting that is on body image, sexuality, and relationships, that I am Carol, a compulsive overeater, and I was a liar, a cheat, and a hoe, or whore in the other languages. So getting back to the first part, what I have learned in my action plan, I'll give you a look, I call my story lessons learned. And what I learned in my story is coming to the program, I can't say that my parents or past relationships were that caused me to eat. Only when I moved to Florida and encountered racism back in 1986 did I start to eat uncontrollably, that I isolated, and I've always been a people's person. So I moved to Florida only needing to lose 15 pounds. I gained over 200. But my higher power is good. because during that whole episode, after I had gained 200, I found one of those Pay and Way. It worked, not because of the system, but because of the people. So I lost the weight. So I went back to the old Carol before the weight gain, and we're going back years before OA, because I didn't know I was a compulsive overeater. So moving along several decades, started to gain back some of the weight, asked some friends of mine to help me, and they referred me to OA, and they weren't in the program. So when I first went to OA, I joined January 25th, 2006. I wasn't struck abstinent until April 11th, 2011, because I thought I was too smart. I really didn't know the steps, didn't care. I just wanted to lose weight. But once I became abstinent, and it was from hearing a speaker who quoted from Overeaters Anonymous Big Book, not Big Book, Brown Book, on the disease of the body. And what happened was the disease of the body centered on surrender. I wasn't willing to surrender. And because I wasn't willing to surrender, I wasn't working program. I was working Carol's program. So I wasn't using the tools at the time. I was doing service, but honesty was not in me. So I wasn't doing step one. And what I would do, I had no compassion. If there was someone in the rooms that had more weight to release than I would say, well, I'm doing all right. Let me do what I want to do. But once I got abstinent, things changed. I looked at the tools, the principles. Now, the first four I can quote to you because it's a daily reminder. Honesty, step one. Step two, hope. Believing that a power greater than myself, and I may not be quoting it right, but it's me, can restore me to sanity. Or I might not even be getting them right. But honesty, hope, faith, hope, and courage and are the principles that stick out to me the most. So what brings me around to, I have an action plan, and that action plan encompasses all the tools. Do I use them daily? Most I do. The plan of eating, yes, I send my foods into my sponsor. The sponsorship, I sponsor and I have a sponsor. And that's the first thing that I say to anyone. If you ask someone to be your sponsor and they don't have a sponsor, run the other way, because they're telling you one thing and doing another. I do meetings, do a lot of service, telephone with the young folks, texting, and literature. But I'm going to get to the second part of my story before my time is up. And I did not know, so I didn't send a picture of how it was before I gained weight. Now, I call myself a child of the 60s. See, I'm 75 years old now, but a child of the 60s, that was when they had Woodstock, the hippies, free love. It was crazy. And I, every time when someone thought I wasn't doing the right thing, or really Carol thought that, you know, you're being self-centered, I would say, I'm a child of the 60s and I have a New York spirit. Now, I'm not in New York now, but back then I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, lived in New York for my adulthood. So I was very self-centered. That's the liar, the cheat, and the hoe. Okay? Because for me, it was all on how I looked. And even if I said to you, oh, I don't think I look well, I practice it. I would practice it because I was self-centered. And that's how I would rope the men in my life to Carol. Because of the fact they went on the outward appearance, and I played a game of pretty much being what you thought, especially in, oh, I care about you. I didn't care about you. What I'm learning now is I didn't care about Carol. If you could, what we call wine and dine me, then my thing was you had to pay the price. And that's all I was concerned on. So it was completely body image, not relationships. There were times when I had not played my game and actually felt some sort of love with an individual. And so I was hurt. I'm not going to say that I wasn't. So then I did a wall of, I'm never going to be hurt. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm not going to be honest with you. I'm going to work out, swim, look good. But I am not going to have what I call an intimate relationship. You will get close to Carol. So that part of the body image, sexuality, the relationships. And Irena, would you show the picture of what brought me to OA? That's Carol. And I needed to be reminded of that because I had forgotten, but it was because I was doing another workshop that had to come up. Now, the part of this book and how I was, I didn't look like that. I used to wear back in the 80s, early 90s, the hot pants, the cat suits, all the things that gave the two-piece bathing suits. I'm very social. But I didn't know that my disease was in remission. So when I gained the weight and someone directed me here, I'm still trying to reduce. What I've learned is when I work program, according to program, when I am honest, step one, when I have the faith that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. When step three, I'm not in control. I don't judge you, and I have no control over you judging me. Four, I did do my whole story. I'm constantly what I call doing the work. Doing the work for me is owning up to Carol's stuff. Doing the work for me is when I'm thinking something that's negative. I know how you're going to react or how you're going to act or what you should do. I'm not God. Definitely not your sponsor. So what I've learned is what helps me is using working program, using all of the tools, it helps me to to also encompass this particular session. I own up to what I've done. But I'm changed. I'm changed because I'm working a program. I feel good about Carol. She may not, and it's not about how I look, although I do like to look halfway decent. Halfway decent for me is I like makeup and stuff, jewelry. But that's Carol stuff. So I feel good. Relationships, I try to develop and be honest with myself so I can show you that part. There are times when I'm vulnerable. Vulnerable in my thinking. But because I have established relationships, they're my fellows or friends. I know people all over the world, and they're not necessarily in OA, that helped me, and we still stay in contact. But it's because of program that my relationships have changed and is different. My sexuality is different. It is not just about Carol. It is also about those that I encounter. Body image. Now, I don't do like the young folks. The young folks in my community, I'm here in the South. And I'm glad for them because they have no body shaming. They'll wear, I don't know what they call them now, definitely the leggings. And they could be all different sizes and shapes. And they feel good about themselves. And that's good. Whereas with me, I probably would not. But then that's just Carol. But what it teaches me is to accept others and say, hey, now I wouldn't wear that, but I'm glad that you did. And so that's what this particular book is about, on body image, relationships, and sexuality. So I will close with this. Feel good about yourself. Don't have any shame of what you've done. Work program, and you will be happy, joyous, and free. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Carol. Thanks for sharing your story and for your openness and honesty. Thank you both, wonderful speakers. Now we will open up the Q&A. So here's a question. How do you deal with dating and exploring relationships while working your program and staying abstinent? And this person had said that they struggled with their last two relationships and found themselves going to the food. And they also don't want to diet and know that there's no perfect time to start. They know that there's no perfect time to start dating again and no perfect weight to be at, but they want to make sure that they have a good foundation and that they're in a good place to start. So how do you deal with dating and exploring new relationships while working your program and staying abstinent?
Like I said, I'm 73 years old. So I will say that I missed why people date. Now, maybe there's other reasons, but I come to believe in my old age that people dated so that they could find a partner to live happily ever after with. That was never my experience. I just did it for fun, more fun. But in the program, because I did have that one relationship, and it was during COVID, when it ended, this is a silly, silly story. I put myself on a senior dating app, and within 1 month, I had 258 replies, and it creeped me out totally. And so I called them up and said, hey, you need to take me off. And they did, because I don't want 253 men looking at me online wanting to date me. But This is what I said to one of my younger people, because I don't know how old this person who asked this question is, to one of my younger sponsees. I said to her, why don't you make your higher power your sugar daddy? In other words, you know, stop looking to men or women to fulfill that need. I can tell you that right now there are men in my life who call me. We're not exactly dating. I'm just more cautious. And I think it comes with age. I see the red flags now and I don't ignore them. I can see them pretty quickly because I am accident. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Carol?
Okay. I would say to the person, work your program. Be honest with yourself. Get the support that you need through program. The person that you choose to date, if they are into you, they will respect your program. I, for one, I love all kinds of foods. I'm not even going to lie. It's what I find for me, sugar and white flour is my, really, I have to watch that. But I like to go out sociably. Now, I'm not dating. I'm 75 years old, living in Memphis, Tennessee. So unless I change and go to where everyone is, I'm not going to be in that type of relationship right now. But what I've learned, and I'll wrap it up, is once you are honest with yourself and you feel good about yourself, then you can develop relationships. And if they are into you, then fine. But if they're not, walk on. I tell people, don't wink and a blink at me, because I am not the one for you to wink and blink.
Great. Thank you. So some of the questions are similar. So we have a few questions on boundaries, which kind of you just mentioned, and also intimacy along becoming renewed through the steps. And how does, you know, a new look at intimacy, what does that look like? And also, what would be some of the boundaries for dating now in program, I should say?
I'll go ahead. Like I said, just because I did have one in the last 3 years and 7 months, the boundaries were totally set by me, you know, period. I'm pretty sure I told the person knew I was in OA, but it wasn't no big deal. It was not even discussed. We started so slow. I never had anything start so slow. Now, granted, it was during the pandemic. So, probably the first 6 months was mostly phone calls and text. And he lives very close to me. So, you know, passing each other on the street or in the cars. And then we got to where we would sit across from each other. And then suddenly, probably it was before Christmas, he would come in my house and we would sit 6 feet apart. And then I started having fun. I started doing things I didn't do as a young woman. I wore costumes. I just experimented, but I didn't do anything that he would not ask me to do anything I wouldn't want to do. I just had a ball. I had an absolute ball. And when it ended, like I said, we're still friends. You know, he's out of the country right now, but he called me on Valentine's Day. But I don't have any illusions that it's going to go anywhere. It's just for fun. So I don't know if that's intimate or not, but, you know, and I will say that I actually had to seek help from a doctor again because of my age in order to be intimate. And the doctor assured me, for anybody that has guilt, that sex is very healthy and not something to be ashamed of. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thank you. And Carol?
Yeah, I set boundaries with everyone. I'm not a people pleaser. I'll try to support you and things of that nature. And by setting boundaries and feeling good about Carol, I don't pretty much with any relationship, whether it's an intimate relationship, there's still a boundary. And in an intimate relationship, you work your program, you feel good about yourself, and you go according to plan. But you have to know yourself. You have to do that work so that you can feel comfortable enough to let someone get close to you. You don't have to put up a mask. You can let them in to know about how you are. But you have to do your work.
Thank you. Okay, so another person asked, how do I forgive myself for my past behaviors? How do I surrender my past to my higher power?
Wow, I'd have to think about that. But you know, it's the steps. It's really the steps, working the steps. And forgiveness, you know, on the ninth step, I probably didn't used to put myself on the list. I will also tell you that the more I talk to other people, the more I understand that I'm not alone, that pretty much any behavior I've ever done, whether it's eating or sex or stealing or whatever, has been done by other human beings that, you know, we're human. And that self-forgiveness, and I know, okay, I've had years of therapy too, but one of the last ones, I learned self-compassion, self-compassion. And with that, I pass.
When I did my first four step, in fact, I had a sponsor who was younger than I am, not the same race as I am. And in fact, she was a Southern practicing Catholic young lady. She's one of my biggest friends now. And I did not want to tell the truth about that part, my sexuality and things of that nature. I did not want to tell her of the various men that I had slept with, my thoughts. And someone says, you have to trust. So I look at step four as being held down, as being a puppet. And once you release it, you can float up to freedom. Because see, this is one thing that I've learned in life. You can't do a do-over. It is what it is. You have to forgive yourself first. And do what I call a living amends. Those behaviors that you did in the past, done and gone with. You have to learn, and you do that through the steps of changing your behavior. But you have to embrace that. You can't say, well, wait till I get down to a size 8. I think nowadays it's a size 0, and I'm going to do it different. It's nothing about size. It's all about the overall person. So forgive yourself, because this is what I've learned. Either we all have the same story, or someone has always done something that you would say, oh, we're all human.
Thank you, Carol. Another question had to do with sponsorship. How did you find your either first sponsor or multiple sponsors?
I would love to take that one. So I've had three sponsors in this time of abstinence. The first one, it was because she was the only one who raised her hand at the meeting. And we started working with the OA 12 and 12 workbook, I think it was. But I was very motivated, and I sort of got ahead of her. But she also, I drove someone to a meeting one day, and she was there, and she came out. She was kind of weird. And I just got to tell you, she fired me. You know? But the other person that I drove to the meeting, so I said, well, will you be my sponsor? So she was a certain part of OA that I'm not really in, but I did it with her. But when it came to do the fourth step, I had just done a very thorough fourth step, the most thorough fourth step. I've been in 12 step for over 40 years. I did the most thorough fourth step. I used the AA book. I used the OA books. I used the AA 12 and 12. I thought, I want to do this. I don't ever want to have to do this again. And so she wanted me to do another one. And I said, no. So how I found my current sponsor is actually kind of funny. I went to the Vision for Me meeting in the morning for a short period of time on the phone. And this woman heard my voice. This woman knew me from when I lived in a different city. I don't know how many years ago. We were both in OA. Neither one of us knew we were in OA because we went to different meetings. We were both at Goal Way, strangely enough. So I don't know why she had my phone number, but when I needed a new sponsor, I asked her to be my sponsor. And we've been together ever since. And the first thing we did, because I have worked the steps multiple times, is we worked the traditions, which is something I had never done with a sponsor and wanted to do. So that's how I found mine. She found me, and we have a lot of in common. We're both veterans. We know what it's like to lose a job because we're overweight. Et cetera, et cetera. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mary Grace. Carol, for sponsorship, for your first sponsor or others?
Okay, sponsorship. I think, and I haven't looked at this thing in a long time, but ask someone who has what you want how he or she is achieving it. Then make sure they have a sponsor. Because my first sponsor ran up a flight of stairs, which would be like three stories at the time, to reach me and say, I'm going to sponsor you. Now, remember, I said I didn't know anything about program, wasn't willing to work it. So she was bone thin, and I wanted to be bone thin. So I said, all right. We got along, but she was trying to change Carol. And then I learned I didn't have to keep her. But I respect that she wanted to help me, because what she had wasn't, it was just her whole makeup. So we go on to sponsor two. And my sponsor two knew a lot of stuff. She was a young girl. And what happened with that is she relapsed and she moved to another city. We're still friends to this day. But she gave me valuable. Carol, you may know some stuff, but you can't do it alone. So I met my third sponsor, going on 9 years now, at I'm in Region 8, at Region 8 Business Assembly and Recovery. And this sponsor in the beginning, sometimes now, but we work program. We're not alike. We have different, not going to bring in outside issues. But the aim is to be a guide to help me through. And what I've learned very valuable is I appreciate all who's been on this road. But it is not, we're not joined at the hip. We're program. And it is not till death do you part. If it doesn't work for you, then you find someone that does.
Thank
and
you.
And I pass.
Thank you, Carol. All right. So another question. Could you share with us either a tool or a recovery moment where that you found was a turning point in the way that you self-acceptance, self-love, or embracing body image, some sort of turning point where you all of a sudden just said, I'm all in with self-acceptance?
I'm all in with recovery But I don't know that I'm all in with being happy, joyous, and free 100% of the time. I just want to be honest about that. I came back to OA 3 years and 7 months ago after one of my younger sisters died, you know, and we weren't able to show pictures of others. But I come from a family of 15 kids. Two of my younger sisters had weight loss surgery. And one of them years later died. And in my mind, I always thought it had to do with that. Whether it did or not, I don't know. So that propelled me back into Overeaters Anonymous. But I think I just love myself because, what did they say? We love you until you learn to love yourself. So that includes my higher power. So I learned to love myself by the people in OA who love me, who send me texts every day that say how much they love me. People from different countries, people from different cultures. You know, I mean, there's so much love here that if I accept your love, then how could I not accept the love of a higher power and not love myself? With that, I pass. Thank you.
Yes, it was April 11, 2011. In March, I had heard a speaker, and she referred to Overeaters Anonymous, Brown Book, and I embraced that because before that time, even though I was working in program, I was lying to myself. I was slipping and sliding. I was in relapse thinking I was in recovery. Once I started working the program as it set out to work, then everything changed. Now, I have to say this and I'll close. Carol has a three-part personality, a three-part. There's genie in the bottle. Genie will call you a B, MF, whatever. There's pitiful Pearl, whose job is to watch genie in the bottle, report back to me and HP. So what I find is the support of others, so I accept myself, so we can keep genie, and I acknowledge genie, under control through our HP. So know yourself, feel good about yourself, and just go out there and enjoy the world.
Fabulous. Let's do just one more question. Somebody asked if you've gone through weight loss and then you feel like you still have, they use the word flab, I think, to express their own feeling. How, you know, what words maybe could you help them with to increase their body image positively?
You know, I don't worry about it. You know, I'm very lucky. I look good in clothes. I wear a bathing suit when I go to the pool. I put a towel around myself, but it's more for modesty than I'm ashamed of my body because, frankly, I don't want to compare, but I look pretty good compared to a lot of people. So focus on what's good. You know, I mean, nobody's perfect. We're not models. You know, culture tells us we have to look a certain way. And the other thing is, you know, to try to dress kind of cute, you know, and I will say I don't wear short sleeves. So, you know, if I have a certain part of my body that I don't like, I can dress in such a way that, you know, but I just don't worry about it. You know, again, that may come with age. If so, I don't know how old the person is who's asking that question, but it just is what it is. With that, I pass.
Carol, would you like to add to that?
Okay. There's two things that I know in this world. One, when it comes to nutrition, or some say dieting, we can tell you exactly what's good, not good, things of that nature. When we don't follow the plan, it's your own individual plan. We're fooling ourselves. And in looks. Now, I live in the South, and it's hot down here. So I will wear short sleeves with the bat wings. I do go and do water aerobics because I'm athletic. I still have a lot of weight to lose, but I know it won't come off in a day. That's my aim. And so I'm not going to wear something real short that I don't feel comfortable in. But if I feel comfortable in it, I don't care what you think. And I'll give it. So it's like, if you do your work and you get to that point and you use the tools and you get the support, you'll find out what we embrace thinking everyone is looking at us and thinking about us. I'm going to be honest with you. People don't care. People trying to do the best they can in their lives. So embrace. If you like to wear red, fuchsia, hot pink, and a dress or shorts 6 inches above your knee, hey. You like to wear a halter top, I don't know if that's in style again, hey. You feel good about yourself, they don't really care. And what do you care? Because you don't know them people. And I pass it.
Fantastic. Embrace yourself. I love it. It's been such a pleasure to be here with both of you and everyone doing service.